Okay, I'm going to start in Matthew 5. We're just going to read that chapter and allow God's word to minister to us. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach them so, it shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Just a few points that stood out to me in that, in verses 32, 31 and 32, I felt like I got direction this week a little bit more in just walking with someone that is struggling with that, divorce and remarriage, and just being blessed with the discussion time that we were having, and just confirming where God's word says that we should walk in that. And I think the action step for me is, of course, you caring, and then just looking at God's word and saying, look, I want to, let's look at this together. Let's look what it says, and then allow God's Holy Spirit to convict him. I was just blessed with that. You know, it's, you can show someone, but then God has to do the work. So I look forward to that. It's so freeing to let God do that for this person. Another point for me was in Matthew 5:11, it says, you know, blessed are the persecuted. And we were watching Andrew Brunson's testimony, a man that was in prison for 2 years in Turkey, a pastor. And, you know, he was pastoring his church, and he thought, yes, I'm ready for persecution. I think by faith I can press through. Recognizing that he wasn't ready, he all but lost his mind. And very, very serious about that. He shares it in a way that how he was able to feel and how he was able to physically command his soul to bless the Lord, so to speak. There was times where he did not have any feelings, and he had so much feeling of fear, like he felt claustrophobic, and he was just, it's like maybe a bull in a china closet just waiting to bust out of there till it affects your mind. And he was able to just start worshiping God and doing things that the scripture tells us to, and blessing the Lord. And I guess I was just encouraged that as he shared, it's just, you know, God is going to refine his church and is already doing that in many parts of the world, maybe not so much here physically. But I think we will get opportunity. I really do. I feel like God is just as interested in purging the church here in the West as he is anywhere else. So it was an encouragement to prepare to stand. One thing that I thought about as we were going through that is Jeff King from ICC, International Christian Concern, when we were doing a virtual call with him, or he was sharing some things with some pastors. He shared one thing that I remember. He said, you know, you don't have to be inside the prison to begin to live a life like this so you can prepare yourself. And I think that's what Andrew Brunson would say as well. Now, since he's out, he's saying, be intentional. Be intentional. When you're under fire, when you're under a test, when you're under pressure, be faithful. because God is using that situation to train you for the next one. And so important. So, but as we walk together, let's be, and maybe this is the right time to say this, but let's be mindful if somebody's in the midst of a trial. It's easier to pull them out. But what about if God wants them to go through? Andrew Brunson mentioned that. He's like, his mother was just the greatest encouragement. She said, Andrew, this is your time. As hard as it may be to sit inside in solitary confinement, this is your time. Show God that he's worthy where you are. And it was such an encouragement to him. She didn't have pity on him as far as, I really think that I should somehow get you out. No. Andrew, go through this. Give God glory and be faithful. The third point for me was, as an action step, was memorizing scripture. I was really encouraged to do that here this year. And hiding the word in my heart and storing up treasure in heaven. So yeah, those were a couple things. I want to give the others opportunity. But at the end of the day, I just really, again, a heartfelt thank you to all of those that were here. I feel like I received because you committed yourself to be here. And it wouldn't have been as, how would you say, by myself or just with one other person, it wouldn't have been as interacting and as rewarding, fulfilling as it was with you all here. So thank you to all of you. If Lamar, are you ready? I'm going to just write up the lineup so we don't get confused as Lamar starts here. But yeah, God bless you. Hopefully this will be a rewarding time for us all.
Good morning. I'm excited to be here this morning. I'm excited for a new morning and a new year, and I've prayed a prayer over the past year a lot, and yeah, the prayer was that, God, I'm so thankful. Thank you, Father, that your mercies are new every morning, and it just seems like, obviously, you don't wait to get over your struggles till the next year or till even the end of the day, but it just feels good to have a fresh start and a fresh zeal. And yeah, I attribute some of that to you all putting input into my life through the past week. It's such a blessing, I think, and such a great way to end the year and also begin a new one in the way we did it this past week. So yeah, thank you all for your input and for bringing out those things. I think I wouldn't have gotten near as much out of it myself as I did with everybody else's input. So it was really healthy and good for me to be here, a time of growth. And a time of really my eyes being open to seeing that many promises and that many things in those three chapters. And yeah, just as Dad was sharing, really rich. So I am going to go ahead, Dad asked me to read chapter 6. So I'm going to go ahead and do that now, then make a few comments afterwards. If you want to follow along, you can. Matthew 6, verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when thou pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard in their much speaking. But ye, be ye be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou may appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father, unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Lay not for yourselves treasures in heaven upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor the rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the fields, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself, sufficient unto the evil thereof. Yeah, that was one of the chapters, and actually it was probably the one that spoke to me the most. And I see in my own life in the past, and even coming up to this week, basically, I was convicted of why do I do the things that I do? Even this morning, why did I agree to read this passage? And obviously there's a need for that, but what was my first thought? Is it that way people recognize me, and that way people think I'm more spiritual or something like that? Just to check my motives. I know I can too often have the wrong motive in something. In verse 5 it says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love praying. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, and may be seen of men. Then it goes on to say, like, when you pray, do not as the heathen do. And, just different things there, and even when you fast. And he's just, I guess what I got out of these couple chapters here is that he's really digging into the heart of who we are. And it's no longer a surface thing like in the Old Testament. What you did was how you were judged, pretty much. And he's taking it deeper than that. He sometimes he quotes that and then he says, "But I say," and then he goes to the heart of things. And that's the hardest part of at least my own life to control. I think sometimes when I think I have it together, it's then those times where God just touches one area of my life and says, "Your heart isn't right in this." And it may be a good thing, but still, he still touches it and says, "Your heart needs to be changed here. Your heart needs to be, it needs to be for my glory that you're doing this." And that was one thing that really spoke to me during this past week and among a lot of others. The other thing was Matthew 5 there, where you read, I'm not sure exactly where it is. Oh, it was about, you know, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. It was a good challenge not to be that light that is hid under the bushel, or the salt that's just trodden under foot of men. I think that's all I'll share for this morning, but it was a really good encouragement to me to be here, and thank you all for your input, and it was a big blessing to get to. I like Berkeley and too, but it was a good blessing to be able to come together and study the Word of God and seek out some of those issues together as a body. So God bless you all.
So I can also say I was truly blessed to be here a couple of days here. This last week, and it just felt really good to go through the Sermon on the Mount here. And coming into this, I was like, okay, I'm more one. What are you, God? What was the setting? What was really going on? And if you go back into Matthew 4, so Matthew 4, he comes on. Comes on the scene there, and he starts preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And as you continue reading there, a great multitude of people are following, and I just had to think, is this thing hot? Is it okay? Okay. So what I scene coming out of this was, here's a man. They had been teaching before this. They were teaching Old Testament. They were preaching in the synagogues, and it was more on the outward appearances, how you look and what you do. And so, but when Jesus comes on the scene here, think about how this was. He's a carpenter's boy, and this 30-year-old Jewish boy, and he's preaching another gospel, preaching something other than what they used to preach. We could probably say he preached a new lava, an odd lava, is a new belief is what some people would say. And here he was preaching something new, what they were used to preaching, what they were used to hearing. So I was just, as I come into this, I've seen again and again, he's dealing with the heart. It's not just how you look and what you do. It's dealing with the heart, heart issues. And as you continue reading 5, 6, and 7, that's what he's dealing with. So as you start in verse 3, Matthew 5, verse 3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." He did not start off with, "Blessed are the pure in heart." He starts off with, "Poor in spirit." And I think that's very foundational, coming to God, just like we heard this morning already. We are in need. We are in need. If we're not in need, if we're not coming before God and saying, "I need you," how can you mourn for someone else's, for your sin, or even for someone else that's walking in sin? If you don't have that God, that Spirit of God within you. And then we, and even with meek, and blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. I was just thinking, you know, I know there's some men that, you know, that didn't eat for a couple of days. And there's something, hunger and thirst is a passion. If you don't eat for a couple of days, you get hungry. And here it says, blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And it was just a blessing to walk through that or even discuss this with brothers, what that really looks like. And it just continues about the pure in heart. And what I see out of this, I think this is a character that as Christians, this is where we should be walking. This is the character that Jesus is bringing out that Christians should be walking in. And if we walk in this, he said, blessed are. It doesn't say blessed is. It is we are blessed if we walk, if we have the character that he's talking about here. And he continues talking about anger and lust. It was just really, it was good to go through that. In Matthew 6, again, he's talking. I guess I vision myself to a group. It says multitudes of people. And he's sitting there. He's sitting there, and they're standing, if I understand it right. In one of the, and so, and I, it says in verse 6, or chapter 6 there, he talks about giving alms. He talks about prayer. And he talks about, I thought there was three. There was is giving, praying, and what can I think what the other one was there? Fasting, yes. Those are three things that are very, I mean, they're good to do. God is asking us to do those. But the thing is, what they were doing here, what the scribes and Pharisees were doing, is they were trying to make people know, or they were trying to make people aware that they're doing it. And it was out of an impure heart. It was a motive that, see who I am. And again, it was just, it's a heart issue. Even all the things that we do, good things, you can say it's good things that you do. What is the motive behind it? Is it motive to please God, to glorify Him? If it isn't, it's about self. And if people, it says here, if people praise you and applaud you for doing those things, that reward, that's all you will get. But if you do these things, let's say in secret or just, I'm doing it because I love God. I'm doing it because I'm doing it for Him. The reward's going to be in heaven. And that's ultimately what we're desiring, to glorify Him. So then we ended in Matthew 7, verse 12, on the third day, and I wasn't here the fourth day. But again, it says, Matthew 7, verse 12 says, therefore, the word therefore means because all this, what I just shared, all this, let's say the last two and a half chapters, it says, all these things, whatsoever ye would do, that men should do to you, do even so to them, which we call the golden rule. It's that's just what it is. For this is the law and the prophets. It means love each other. Treat each other like you want to be treated. And there is no law in that. So, yeah, it was just bringing everything together that this is how you're supposed to walk. This is how God desires for his people to walk.
Good morning. It's a blessing to be gathered together here this morning and just hear from God's word. And it was an incredible blessing to be together this week and just read through the Sermon on the Mount and just study God's word together and spend time praying. I was richly blessed by everything that came from that. And I was also blessed by listening to the series by Andrew Brunson in the Prepare to Stand series. And a lot of it really much tied into what we were studying. And there was a lot of applications that we could make with what he shared and with what was in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to read a few things from my notes that came out of that, from the Andrew Brunson's teachings. But he spent 2 years in prison. He was serving in Turkey as a missionary, and he said that he thought he would be prepared for something like spending time in prison or for persecution. And when that time actually came, he recognized that he was not prepared for it at all. And the reason for him doing this series is it's more like a warning or a preparation, kind of a warning to the church to prepare for what's ahead and ways that we can prepare and things that he learned. So it was really good. Just everything he had to share. And he said something that really spoke to me. And he said that he believes that there's a dark wave about to crash onto the church and that few people are prepared for it. It really made me search my heart, like, how do I view that? If there's a dark wave crashing onto the church or there's persecution in the future and whatever that might look like, and when you say future, you don't know how soon that might happen, but how do I respond to that? And I must say, like, in the past, it is easy to think like he thought, where it's like, you know, if I'm, like, here spiritually and persecution hits, for some reason it thinks that you would go like this, like, you're forced to trust God, and you're forced to seek his face, and you're forced to cry out to him. But I honestly don't think that's how it is. And somebody already told me that, like, when persecution hits and you're here in your spiritual life, you just stay here. And I'm convicted of that, because I think God wants to prepare us for what's ahead. And I don't think it's anything complicated. And that's kind of what came out of the Sermon on the Mount. Just things that God desires for us to walk in. And it's not even necessarily like we're trying to prepare for something, but we're just walking in obedience to his will. Just a few things from my notes. One thing he mentioned was expect persecution. Live for the day you stand before Jesus. Rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. And he mentioned about how when he was in prison for the entire 2 year time period, he never once felt the presence of God. Like, it just felt like God forsook him. And he said that God taught him to rejoice in that. And he did this thing where he would get up and he would dance before the Lord and he would rejoice, even if he didn't feel like it. He would still praise God, even if he was under persecution. Another thing that spoke to me is he said, ask God to make you thirst. If you're not hungering for God, ask God to make you thirst. And he mentioned something about choosing to say what God says. And I must say about everything what God says about it. And say about God what he says about himself. So a few things in the Sermon on the Mount that ministered to me and that kind of tie into that, and just thinking of ways that we could be persecuted in the future. One is in Matthew 6, verse 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break through, do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And then jumping down to verse 25, he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" And then in the end of, and I going on to verse 31, he says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So I think part of just preparing ourselves for going through a challenging time is laying up treasures in heaven rather than on earth, because if those treasures are taken from us, it's going to result in despair. But if our treasure is in heaven and our earthly things are taken from us, we still have our treasure. And to seek his kingdom first and not be anxious about tomorrow or what might happen tomorrow or the next day or whether we're going to have food or clothing tomorrow, but to just seek first God's kingdom and all these things will be added unto us. And then in the end of Matthew 7, beginning in verse 21, these verses really spoke to me. We went through these on the last day, and I was asking myself, you know, how do you prepare for a situation like Andrew Brunson's situation? And I don't think we can really prepare for any given situation fully, but as we were reading through this, it really spoke to me. I'm going to read these verses as well, starting in Matthew 7, verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And what spoke to me in there is that the wise man versus the foolish man, you could look at the storm or the rain as just challenging things that we encounter in our lifetime, things that, like, it could be anything, like any sort of difficulty or hardship. And the one man, when he faced challenges, his house was destroyed, and the other man, his house stood firm. And I think it points back to verse 21, where he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And what I found interesting is that he really stresses on God's will and how important it is to know God's will, not just be out there like doing some good thing, because these other people were out there, they were casting out demons and and healing people, and it looked like a really good thing, but it doesn't seem like they cared about what God's will was for their lives, or they even pursued it. So that was just a really good reminder for me that God doesn't want us to just do whatever good thing that we can think of or something that might seem really good, but he wants us to pursue his will and walk in that. Another, I found it interesting, like comparing this year to last year. Last night, John Emmore had asked me how, or if there's anything I would change. And that's a good thought. I didn't really think of anything that I would change about this week, but just comparing it, like, it's just different. Like, it's really good to listen to teaching and to allow that to bring conviction. But it's also really good to just read the word together and allow that to convict you. And it's kind of interesting how it seems like if somebody's teaching you and it brings conviction, it's more immediate. Or that's what I experienced anyway. But as you read the word and discuss it, it takes root, and it seems like it goes really deep. So I just appreciated just spending time in the word and allowing it to just bring conviction. So, yeah, I really appreciate everybody that had input. God bless you.
Yeah, it definitely was a really good week. I really appreciated the discussions, and also, probably even more than that, just the solo time, the journaling, praying, and writing, and just thinking about what we discussed. Definitely a really good week. I feel like God challenged me in a lot of areas. But before let's read Matthew 7 first. So if you could just turn there and we'll read the chapter. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. So, I don't know. I guess one of the biggest things just in general about the Sermon on the Mount that stood out to me, and I know I'm going to be getting a little bit redundant, but just the challenge of, yes, it's a heart issue, but I think even further than that, Jesus is describing a lot about what the characteristic is of that heart. And I think one of the big things that stood out to me is that of a lowly heart, a humble heart. And I guess I'll just pull out a couple things here throughout the sermon. It's not at all exhaustive, but there's a couple things that stood out to me. It's there in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, the ones that mourn, and the meek. And I guess there, just how Abram was sharing earlier too, just the dependence and reliance that the lowly heart has on God, knowing it's not from itself, it's not self-sufficiency, but it's a reliance on God. And then even later on in the same chapter, it talks about our relations to others. And it says, Jesus says, not only are you not supposed to murder, but you're not even supposed to get angry or have hatred toward your brother or toward others. And really, I think this is a selfless love is also a characteristic of a lowly heart. And you see that also in later on, the loving your enemies and going the second mile. So we have, it's a reliance on God, but it's also a selfless love for others. And then in chapter 6, obviously, the Jesus criticizing the Pharisees about their, not necessarily what they were doing, but why they were doing it and how they were doing it. So I guess that's a challenge for me too. Not only do we do what's good and right, but we follow that, we have motives behind it that are good and right. And then also in the end of the chapter 6 on worry. And I think that's another aspect of a lowly heart. It's a lowly heart is not anxious for his own needs or wants. And that's a challenge for me because it's easy to worry about what'll happen to you when really for a lowly heart it's not about us. So I don't know, I guess I was just thinking about, especially these, just a reliance on God, a selfless love for others, pure motives, and not being anxious about our needs or wants. And I guess it's a little bit hard knowing, since it's a heart issue, how do you go about getting this? Or how do you come to the place where you can have humility? And I guess I was just challenged in the end of the sermon, Jesus says simply there in chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. And then verse 11, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So I think clearly a lowly heart is a good thing that God wants of us. And I guess it's that challenge of asking him and aligning our will with his. And I guess another thought that I had on a lowly heart, and it's similar to something Andrew Brunson said, is I don't think a lowly heart necessarily creates immunity from pride, but it releases us to make the right decisions despite pride. And I think that's what we'll need, and I think that's what creates a solid foundation there, which talks about in the end of chapter 7. And I think that's what we'll need to withstand the storms, too. That's what we'll need when the storms come, because then we'll be able to rely on God and not on what? On ourselves, on what we think is right, or even on our feelings. So, yeah, I guess that was one thing that I was challenged with. Thanks again for all of you others for your input. And it was a really good week and really fun spending time with y'all. So,
yeah, it is good to hear your testimonies, your challenges that you faced this week, and just the different things that God was speaking. Because I know, you know, maybe we went into the week and the thought was, you know, maybe we'll come out with some answers. And in a sense, we didn't really. Like, we discussed different topics, but like there was no answer. Well, this is how it works for me. Well, this is how it happened for me. Or like, this is what happened when I was there, and just different things. Maybe, you know, not just a solid answer. And as we went through that, you just recognize that, you know, really what is necessary is that we walk with God in every situation that we come up against. Because it may be different one day than the other. It's not always going to be exactly the same. Or we would, knowing us as humans, we would certainly get that figured out. I mean, we just know how to put stuff in place and, you know, everything would be good. But that's not how it is. I was blessed this morning in the worship time. He'll give you everything. And with the wrong motive, where we're just like, oh, I'm gonna serve God that way. He'll give me everything I want, right? But Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And you know, as we went through the scriptures, the sermon there, it was just, you know, what does that mean for me? What does that mean for my walk with God? What does that mean with the situations I'll be meeting with next week or the following? What does that mean if, you know, different ones of us here had shared just where they're walking with someone who's in a relationship that's, you know, according to Scripture, like, this shouldn't be. How do we encourage these people? Well, you just have to know in the moment what God wants you to share. You can share the word, and I think one thing that stood out to me was that we have compassion. As we walk with people, we must have compassion. We must let God be God. We can share the word, we can use the word, and the word is our foundation, but God must be God in every situation, and He will. Probably doesn't look the same. Sometimes we may think it looks a little different than the way we understand Scripture, but it's just very critical, I think, that we allow God to be God, and you know, our fruits will display truly who we are. That there we read too, by your fruits, you will know what God is about. We must walk with God. We must have that relationship. I think that was the greatest thing that got out of the Andrew Brunson series, was there must be a heart after God. If our heart is set on ourselves, if our heart is not right before, I'm telling you, it, in a sense, it put an urgency in me, because how can Christ be everything in the life that we have everything available? And I'm not sure if we can understand this to the full depth until we actually get to that point. But is our heart to know God as much as we can in the life that we do live? I would have always thought in a situation like that, the grace of God would be so real to someone that it would just be easy. But he absolutely felt nothing for 2 years. And I'm like, is that real? But what he can say now, looking back, is God's grace was over everything in that situation. He just didn't feel it. It was everything. God gave him sufficient grace that there was none left for any dependence on himself. And he come out of there recognizing it was all God. Up until 24 hours before he got released, or maybe 48, I'm not sure, just a day or two before he got released, he still thought it could be 70 years in prison. And somehow God worked it out. But just to know that, and another thing that spoke to me, his mother was very passionate that he doesn't come out of the prison until God has completely finished the work that needed to go on in prison. And that's, you know, that really spoke to me as well, because we just so desperately need out of our situation now. And yet, are we patient? Can we walk through that with patience? And it's about the glory that God will get at the end, not about me getting out. And that just really definitely challenged my you know, our thinking. I used to think that this was before I was saved, that if, you know, if something serious begins to happen, I mean, you can read in the Word that in the end, there's going to be rumors of wars. There's going to be all these things. And I, you know, once these things begin to happen, I'm going to repent and I'm going to get my life straightened out. But you know what? That never is going to happen to anybody with that kind of a motive. And I guess I thought about that, you know, even in the past, the last years here, you know, thinking that when persecution comes, then those things will happen. I'll just begin to trust God more. But I guess I was just challenged with the thought that that's not true. God does give us situations that we can exercise our faith, our trust in Him. And I think that's one thing that He's really shared is, as you exercise perseverance, those muscles begin to grow. And you begin to get strength in that area. Settle things in your heart and live by it. That's one thing that, as we're going through here, I have to often think of, you know, how does God rule the universe? And when you look back in Genesis and, you know, He said, let there be light, and there was light. And now that, and even just the day and night and how that's been going on for thousands of years, you know, God is not every morning like, okay, now I have to make sure the sun is up by this time and it goes down by this time so this all stays in order. It's just in order. And could it be that way with us when we're making decisions and we have vision for something and there's, you just don't know exactly, you know, how does this look in my life? What's this supposed to look like? Ask God and then get it settled and then move on to other things in life. Like if we're consistently thinking, well, how am I going to do this today? Or how am I going to do this tomorrow? And, you know, maybe I'm thinking more in just practical things of how do I dress or what's the patterns or just different things is, you know, if we're continuously going back and forth and we don't know how, you know, what tomorrow I'm going to be with this group, you know, do I have to adapt or, you know. If these things are settled in our hearts, it just brings such a release to just serve God and allow Him to take us. And I think being a light, I think Elmer mentioned that last week. You know, you intentionally will set a light on a stand. You know, God wants to intentionally, or we are the light, but He intentionally sets us on a hill. Like he wants us to be intentional about being in a place where it's dark so there's light. And Dave brought this out Wednesday night as far as, you know, salt. Salt in itself isn't much good, but when you add it into the mix, it brings flavor and taste. And just the thought of, you know, being in a dark place of being the salt, that would, in a sense, bring the thought of maybe not just all the salty people in one area. Like, there should be, you know, we should live in an area, and we do, we live in an area. God puts us here to be salt and to mix in, and in a way that it would, you know, His glory, so that they may see your good works and glorify God. That was His passion, that His Father would be glorified through His life, but also through His disciples and those who live for Him. So I think, yeah, just my encouragement is, as we walk with God, that He would show us specific direction for every moment, every situation that we come up against or that we face in our life. So it was just, I don't know, I can't quite express, I didn't know, you know, going into it, are we going to be in debates or are we going to discuss scripture, you know, and I was just so blessed by so many different thoughts being shared and yet just being reverent for each other. And like, I heard it so often this week, I didn't think about it like that. I never saw it like that. And, you know, on the same topic from maybe three different people. And it was just so good to fellowship in that way. And I just felt like there was just a reverence for each other, a peace in being able to discuss and share our hearts without getting shot down. And I just felt like that was just a great, it was just a good atmosphere. So, yeah, I just appreciated the opportunity to be here, and especially young people just being here. It felt good to, I feel like I learned so much from, you know, our youth being here and the young people. They just have insights that I didn't have, and I just feel like we learned so much from each other. So God bless you, and I just want to, I look forward to maybe doing more of this in the future, whether it just be at a men's meeting or maybe weeks at a time like this again. It was so good. So God bless you.
Thank you all for sharing. I really appreciate it. It was good to be here this morning. It was good to be here last week. It was just a blessing. So maybe in closing, prepare yourself to share testimony for those of you that have been here as well. So young men, boys, young ladies, girls. So if you've been here this week and want to share something, prepare yourself to share, because there'll be opportunity given. A couple of things that blessed me as well is even Wednesday night, Dave gave the illustration of, like a light in itself is dead, right? I mean, we all know that if the light here is not connected to anything, there's no light. But because the light is connected to the source, it gives light. And likewise for us, it says, ye are the light of the world, not because of ourselves, but because of who we are connected to. And that's very important that we are connected to the source. Because otherwise, we can try to produce light, and it's, in reality, it's not light, unless we are connected to the source. And also, Dave brought out a number of different things. As we read through Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it clearly points out that God provides like two ways. He says there's a wide road, there's a narrow road, there's heaven, there's hell, there's wise, there's foolish, there's a house that's built upon a rock, a house that's built upon the sand, there's treasure in earth, treasure in heaven. There's two masters. You can serve God or mammon. You can pray in the street corners or in the synagogues, or you can pray in your closet. So God gives us choices as we go through life. We can choose if we want to be seen of men or if we want to be seen of God. The choice is ours. And as I was thinking of that, I went to Matthew 6, which is Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 20 said, blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And then 24, but woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Again, it brings the difference from being poor and depending on God versus being rich of yourself. Then 21, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. And then 25, woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. So it's also bringing out the difference of hungering and thirsting after God, and ye shall be filled, versus the opposite, woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. And then also in 21, blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. And 25, woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall weep, ye shall mourn and weep. Again, the two different, the difference there. 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast you out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. And then 26, were unto you, and all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. So again, there is the difference, and the choice is ours. If we want to serve God, we want to serve mammon. If we want to be on the wide road or the narrow road, if we want to go through the straight gate or the broad gate that leads to destruction, we want heaven, we want hell, we want to be wise, we want to be foolish, the choice is ours. Also appreciated Andrew Bronson's prepare to stand. May we prepare to stand. And my thoughts also went to treasure, the transfer of treasure. Is our treasure in earthly things, in our possessions, or is our treasure in heavenly things? Because there is a difference. And as we seek God, as we pursue the treasure in heaven, the things of this earth will not hold our hearts. Because it said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be as also. So the touchstone of where we're at is like where the treasure is, what we hold dear is where our heart will be also. So yeah, may we continue to walk where God has us.